Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Misty. If you are an avid listener, thank you for coming back and listening some more. And if you're new here, welcome to the podcast for the very first time. I'm so glad you decided to come in and listen and join in. First off, if you're in any kind of danger, if you're in a domestic violence situation, we do not want you to listen to this podcast. Please hang up, get a safety plan, get into a safe place, dial 911. Reach out to your local crisis lines in your states. If you cannot reach those lines, you can always call 1-800-799-7233. That is the number to the National Domestic Violence Hotline number. They have advocates on the other end that are there to assist. You can always reach out to domesticshelters.org if you're looking for a shelter or if you're looking for any kind of information. Today's guest is a very special guest, and I just really adore this female. She is very special to me. Her name is Daphne Portis. She is a spoken word artist, a social justice advocate. I can't speak today. I'll let her say it. 2003 Strong Her Honoree. Sorry that I flubbed that up for you, sweetie. But Daphne, if you'd like to start talking. Activist, sorry.
Misty, for having me today. So yes, just to kind of like piggyback on what you were saying, I am a spoken word artist. I am a social justice activist, as well as a City of Birmingham 2023 Strong Her nominee. And I'm just grateful to have this opportunity to just sit down with you and have this conversation. Over the last few years, I've been on this journey of healing from, you know, my own situations of dealing with domestic violence and assault. And so I just really want to let you know how much I admire and how inspired I am by your work and just you and this platform. And so I am just grateful, like I said, to have this conversation with you. And I'm just praying that God uses this light to shine through me as I get to speak to your listeners today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for that. I'm honored to have you. And, you know, they can learn a lot from you. So kind of give us like a little bit of who you, you know, I know you said that you'd been on this journey, but kind of give us a little bit of back, you know, your kind of backstory and where you are today. And if you want to do some, you know, some spoken word, that would be wonderful too.
Yes. Okay, of course. Alabama, which is, you know, anything about Alabama, it's South Alabama. And so, you know, growing up there, I saw a lot of different things growing up as far as like crooked politics, issues with infrastructure, different resources for, you know, my personal school and schools in my neighborhood. And so, like, kind of seeing all these things, I was just like, okay, you know, what is this and what's really going on? And so that's really where I kind of like gained my spoken word voice, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So by looking at, you know, what I saw going on, I would write poems. And so I wrote a poem about, the very first one I wrote and performed was about Trayvon Martin. So following, you know, his killing in 2012, I, you know, wrote that poem and presented it for my classmates, for school, for the community. And so that's really where I started, like kind of like gaining that voice. Mm-hmm. And so voice has been such an important, you know, piece of my life that really allowed me to, number one, express myself, but number two, really speak to the issues that I see going on in my community around me. And so as I grew up with a very, very loving and caring family, we tried to keep these things at arm's length, but I still saw it. And so from there, I decided to go out to college. I attended Auburn University. And so, you know, seek to try to find my voice. And what I really wanted to kind of like talk to the listeners about was the fact that when let's say the enemy sees that there's something in you that shines bright and God uses to speak to people, they really try to diminish that voice. And so that is one of the things that I kind of experienced once I was in college, kind of around the wrong people, and even before college, but around the wrong people who was just, you know, starting to question, like, okay, you know, do you really have anything to say? Is what you're saying even valuable? And so those types of comments really weighed heavy on me, made me started kind of like rethinking, you know, what I had to say. And so through many of those experiences, including the times that I was experiencing abuse, really kind of took that voice away from me. And so over the last few years, I've really been working to try to regain that voice. And so one of the ways that I've been able to kind of like take back ownership of something that's been dear to me for so long is, I don't say crazy enough, but is, you know, in alignment of spoken word poetry again.
I absolutely love that. I love that. And I kind of got choked up hearing you say that, you know, people were like, you know, your voice doesn't really matter. In other words, you know, they might not have just said that just straight up, but they were saying that they didn't care about what you had to say or they wouldn't listen. And, you know, your voice does matter. You know, your voice is very, it matters. It matters. Your story matters. You matter. You know, and so, yeah, people do put others down, especially if it's a story about something that devastated you, you know, and it was, you know, it was something horrendous like abuse or assault or being discriminated against. People don't want to hear about the tough subjects, you know. They don't want to hear about it. They're just like, you know, we live in this bubble. Our bubble is beautiful. Sorry you had problems. It didn't affect me, you know, but your voice is important and it does matter. And I'm proud that you just expressed that.
Exactly. And just kind of like piggybacking off of that, two things came to my mind. Number one is, in addition to like people trying to put your voice down, mm-hmm. you kind of like internalize it oftentimes, right? And we see that with, you know, the way that people kind of feel when it comes to like different biases and discrimination, as you were saying, you start rejecting yourself or you start internalizing those feelings about yourself. And so that's what I found myself doing. So like I said, even though I had a very caring family who loved me dearly, I, you know, wouldn't speak to them about the abuse that I was experiencing because I was like, okay, well, you know, in these situations, even in the craziest part is that it may be one or two voices that are saying, you know, what you say don't matter or, you know, how you feel is significant. And it's, and we amplify those voices, those internally, we amplify those voices so much because despite so many people speaking life into me or speaking life into anyone, you know, you still have those moments of, well, you know, I've been broken down in these ways. And so you start doing it to yourself. So I, even though I had, you know, came through that situation and ominous journey of healing, I felt as if the story of abuse that I had was something that, like you said, people being in a bubble that, you know, I couldn't show that it affected me. Because even though, like, it's crazy, I have pictures of myself, like, days after my experiences of abuse, being and still being involved in school. So that next week I had to do finals. That next week I was going around campus in a choir, in a gospel choir, singing about, you know, Christmas, you know, to my classmates and stuff. And so I have pictures of that. And so I learned to craft a mask, right, to pretend. And so I actually have a poem that I can recite here that's called Imperfect Patty, and it really speaks to like my feelings of, even though I'm going through all of this, even though I have this brokenness inside of me and this hurt, I felt as if I couldn't express it. And so I had to craft this mask of a perfect Patty. And so in response to that, I wrote this poem called Imperfect Patty. And so, if you've ever met a perfect Patty, then you know their presence is a presence.
Right.
The problem solver. She stands in the gaps, making a way out of no way. She writes roadmaps to success, shoulders the burdens behind family recipes, burden and has sacrificed her name for peacemaker, planner, or persistent. Someone once told her pressure makes diamonds, so she pledged to shine so bright that it blinds everyone to her flaws. She decided to wear the ability to bend and not break as a badge of honor. It seems where we would all crack, she avoids coming apart at the seams, but I promise, nothing is as it seems. Beware the presentation. Afraid of fear and disappointment, she crafts a mask to the tune of the perfect Patty facade and gains pleasure from the pedestal she never asked to grace. But baby, give yourself grace. I know you have been made to feel as if you have to get in line and stay in your place. In your solitude, you wonder how freedom tastes. Tears knock on the brim of your eyes, and yet the smile never drops from your face. It's okay to feel. You don't need anyone's permission to live, to dance to your own rhythm and move at your own pace. The part you learn to play to perfection is not your purpose. Your personality can be genuine without pushing your imperfections to the margins. Resize the frame to include the whole picture. Reclaim your real name. And to anyone who can't handle it, tell them to F off without an apology.
Oh, I got cold chills. I got cold chills. That was so powerful. So powerful.
Thank you.
I love that, Daphne. You are such a talented speaker, writer. That was amazing. That was so beautiful. I mean, I think that the listeners will really resonate. That'll resonate with many of the listeners that do listen. Because I know quite a many survivors do listen to the podcast. And so I do have many women who reach out and they say, you know, this episode changed my life. She was speaking to me. And that's what this is all about, is possibly letting one, you know, just one person may hear your story or hear your spoken words, and they may get so much inspiration inside. And something is going to strike a chord in them and be like, oh, goodness, that really resonated with me. Wow, that was beautiful.
Thank you. And just as you're saying, like, the main part of that poem is, I just really want the listeners to understand that wearing the mask, whether it's for yourself or if you're trying to wear it for those around you, it does not serve anyone. Really. And so where you feel like, if I just kind of smile in this moment, or if I just kind of like keep this to myself, then I can keep my family intact, or I can just, you know, continue to push through. And I can like attest that, in doing that, just kind of like for myself, where I thought that, you know, I was doing my family a favor by just, or keeping things, you know, intact, just by pretending, like I said, wearing this perfect Patty facade, where, as you know, nothing has affected me, nothing has happened to me. Living this lie has literally done more damage than good, because now I have all of these years of, holding on to this, and in doing that, it definitely causes stress, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I can attest to, like, where I hold stress in my body, and just kind of, like, be long-term effect that it has had on me. And so in addition to dealing with the years, taking into account the years of going through what I went through, it's also those years of holding on, not speaking to folks. And I can say, like, after sitting down, and what I really want you to know is that I ended up sitting down with my mom and my big sister and letting them know, but one of the things, and I've been in therapy for years, and so that's another thing I want to let you know, please go to therapy, get help. But in going to therapy, I got to a point in which I could tell my family, and I was like, look, I have to tell my mom, it's been placed in my heart, I have to tell my mom. And every time I would kind of like build up my confidence to do it, my anxiety kicked in. So I have like the anxiety and depression that I've been feeling over these years is directly related to the experiences and not to know anyone about it. And so honestly, I couldn't be honest with myself about what happened to me until 2023. So So the experience happened from 2020. It started in 2026 and it went on through 2019. But it wasn't until 2020 when I was actually able to say what happened to me. And so, you know, when just, I think in 2022, so just last year, I was finally able to try to tell my family, but this voice kind of whispered to me. It was God talking to me. It was like, it said, you, the enemy or the devil will make you feel like as if you have to go through this alone or you have to do this alone. And so in that moment, I was like, that's been a trap for me. I've been feeling as if I don't do it alone, then it's not legit. And that's something that had been implanted in my mind when it, like, as a result of the abuse I experienced. It was like, yeah, you know, if you're not doing it by yourself, then it's not legit. You can't call it your own. And so once I was able to break out of that, I you know, still anxious, still scary. Like, none of those feelings didn't go away. But I, you know, was finally able to tell my big sister, my oldest sister. And so after I told her, you know, we cried, she asked her questions. I told her everything. And then I was like, okay, nah, I really need your help with trying to tell mama. And so I had that support. My sister, she came over and, you know, sat with us and, you know, held my hand, all of those things when it came to me being able to tell my family and tell my mom. And so, of course, that's nothing that you want. This is nothing that you want to tell your folks, tell your, that's the last thing I want to tell my mom, honestly. But, you know, being able to have a trusted community and being able to find someone else that you can trust in order to, you know, kind of heal in the ways that you need to, and also be able to speak your truth. That is something I really want people to kind of take away from this. So who in your life can you find to speak to, and can that person help you along in your healing journey?
Right. Absolutely. So what was your defining moment? What do you think? What do you think that finally was like the thing that was like, you just thought, I've got to let this go. Like, I've got to go tell my family. Like, I've got to. Like, what was that defining moment for you? Like, what in your soul, what was things, was there things around you precedingly? Like, was you like seeing things that made you want to speak, or was there any defining moment that it was like, this is it. I need to just talk to them.
Yeah. So it was multiple things. And it kind of started, I have two thoughts. So it kind of started with, I said back in 2021, I kind of like, throughout the years, I had kind of like got apart from my relationship with God, right? And so I was kind of in this void and starting to feel, I had been feeling hopeless for a very long time. I had been feeling alone and just kind of like going through life aimlessly. And so, I tore my ACL in 2020. 2020 was a very difficult year, I know, for a lot of people. For me, it's particularly difficult because I graduated from college with my master's in the middle of the pandemic. I lost my dad in June of 2020 to COVID. And so after that, I decided to come home to Mobile from Auburn. So come home to Mobile. And in August of 2020, I tore my ACL and didn't really know until November. And so all of these like big events was happening in my life. And then after I had surgery in January of 2021, I lost my job because, you know, they felt as if I wasn't coming back to work soon enough. I was still on crutches at the time. Like that four to 5 weeks after my surgery, I was still on crutches. And they was, they, you know, wanted me to go ahead and come in. I couldn't, like, medically, I couldn't. And so I ended up losing my job. And so from February, March till April, I was kind of at my lowest point in my life. So in addition to kind of, like, dealing with, you know, the grief of my dad and the grief of losing my job and physically hurting myself. That was the first like surgery I ever had. And then, you know, back at my mom's house, if anyone knows about like knee surgery, you can't really move like you need to. So I'm literally sitting in the bed, like unable to, like having, my mom has to like cook for me and help me like shower and stuff like that because you just really can't. It was like one of my lowest moments. And I remember getting in the shower one day in April and I was like, okay, God, you know, this ain't it. You know, I have no idea what I'm doing in my life right now. You know, I've gotten these degrees. I've been through all these things. And this ain't the life that I thought that I would have. This isn't where I would think I would be right now. And so I'm really just giving it all back over to you. And so I remember just being in, I'm about to tear up right now. I remember just being in that shower and just kind of like crying and just saying like, look, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm handing it over to you. And from crazy, because God moves like this, he's extremely intentional. He put one of my best and closest friends back into my life, who's my partner now. And so, but back then, you know, we started talking again and, you know, kind of decided that we liked each other, but he has been extremely instrumental to my healing. Mm-hmm. Because he is somebody who had been my friend for 10 years. So he knew me before I went through abuse, and he knew me all through that. And so, you know, we have all these big conversations, just kind of like we got through it. And it kind of got to a point in which I started retreating from him. I was just like, hey, you know, you're asking me these very real questions, like, you know, my healing is no longer surface level, right? Like, I can't just be like, hey, I'm good. No, I have a person in my life now who actually sees me, you know, has a relationship with God and holds me accountable. And so that kind of caused me to retreat. And even in that me retreating, he still worked to kind of like pull me out of that. He was like, yeah, no, we got to talk. We have to see somebody. You know, we have to make this work. And so through, you know, God still working on me, because as much as I want to be like, okay, you know, I did this thing, Lord, I'm going to just leave it alone. He's like, no, you have to tell your, okay, now you have to tell your mom. Okay, now you need to tell your family. Okay, now you have to tell your story. And so, and it's like, so with God and my partner, like him being someone, and this has also been kind of like a journey for both of us, really, because in trying to, you know, help me, like, he's a social work student, and so he's coming and approaching me in a very trauma-informed way, which I just had a trauma-informed training for the first time, and I was just like, wow, just kind of, like, seeing the curriculum and mm-hmm. understanding just kind of, like, the effects of trauma, especially when you're holding on to it for so long, like, not having the capacity to feel joy and having short-term memory and just kind of, like, all these things that I, you know, retreating from people, retreating from folks around you, just these are the effects of trauma and having to make the decision. So between that and also kind of like seeing, I don't want to say seeing, kind of like seeing other people kind of like tell their story and then God planting in my heart and me making a decision and be like, okay, I can't continue on like this. And, you know, I gave you, and I can actually say a poem here. So God reminded me, like, hey, you know, I gave you a voice for a reason. And kind of like a, how dare you, you know, not, how dare you kind of like keep this gift, you know, try to keep this gift for yourself when it's something that I blessed you with. And so knowing that if I was going to get to a point in which I was really going to be able to, you know, forgive myself, tell my folks, and also tell the story to the world, or, you know, just to whoever, in order to try to help save them, if that makes sense, then oh, yeah. I had to start with my mom, because I wasn't, I just couldn't, like, even with being a Strong Her nominee, honoree, and that's essentially, like, Birmingham's way of honoring women in the month of March. And so they just kind of like do this nomination process. And then, so my story ended up being selected and being selected to be the first one. And so I was like, look, I can't do what I need to do because I am not about to put this out on the internet and into the world without my mom knowing first. That's not a way for her to find out. And so I'm going to recite a poem right here that is called God's Invitation. It really speaks to a lot of the stuff that I just said in a kind of more convinced way. So this one is called God's Invitation. So take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Woman at the well, you felt lost for so long. It's about time that you know you've been found. These rich rituals I gave to you so many years ago, you thought it was only for entertainment when really it's our special form of communication. You know how to talk to me. A fire that burns but doesn't consume. Look over here. I'm trying to get your attention. Listen, these words were never yours to hold hostage. They move mountains, taught the blind to hope, toss the hopeless a rope to hold on just a little bit longer. Exercise your faith to make it a little bit stronger. I know you wondered how you wandered so far, and yet I kept you in my arms. There is nowhere you can go that I cannot reach you. Even in the darkest valleys, I breathe life into you because you were my child. I watched as you exclaimed from the rooftops that nothing mattered. Cast stones on purpose, I beautifully crafted for you. Crucified my cause because you couldn't make sense of the circumstances that I never intended for you to endure. Take my hand, I'll lead you out of the dark. My child, I loved you from the start. Through the fall, through it all, no matter how ugly you thought the landing was, I'm happy you're home. Take my hand. I'll show you the life I planned for you.
I love that. That was so beautiful. Thank you, Daphne. And we've got about 2 minutes left on the podcast. And you know what? You've really inspired me. You somewhat remind me of Maya Angelou. Mm-hmm. Like your spoken word and your poetry. It's so powerful. And I want you to continue this journey and shining your light because it's necessary, okay? So don't ever stop talking about your story and your journey. It's necessary that you speak to young women who went through the same thing you went through. And, you know, it's been an honor having you on the podcast. And we got just a few more minutes. So if you want to, tell people how they can figure out how to see your nomination. Honoree, you know, maybe find you a little bit on like your spoken word, where you go to find you. We got 2 minutes. Go for it.
Yes, absolutely. So you can read the feature that the city did on me on their website. So if you would look up, you know, Birmingham, cityofbirmingham.org, Strong Her 2023 honoree. I was the first one, so March 1. You can also find me on Instagram at day by day. So DAEBY_DAE. If you want to keep up with just a few of the things that I have coming up next. And you can also find me on LinkedIn at my full name, Daphne, DAPHNEY, Portis, PORTIS. I do plan to take the poems that I recited to you today and compile them in a book. And so that is like my next goal, my next project that I'm working on. And so I would love for y'all to just kind of like keep in touch with me and follow along on my journey of writing. And if you have any questions, of course, y'all can reach out and we can talk. So thank y'all.
Oh, well, thank you for being a guest. Daphne, this has been such an honor, but I want to say goodbye before we get clicked off. So, bye everyone. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Support the podcast and support Miss Daphne Portis. And we're out of here. Thank you so much, Daphne.
Thank you.